Testing. Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's good to be amongst you again, and good to be before you preaching Christ. There's nothing better. You know, it's quite a privilege. I never thought that I would have such a privilege like that in my life, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Let's open up in prayer. Father, just come to your throne, Lord, to receive mercy and grace so that we may hear your word, Lord, that we may hear an individual rhema for each one of us, Lord, that we would know your will for us in these evil times, Lord. Just pray for those people down in Texas, Lord, those who remain, Lord, that they will mourn, but they won't be with like those without hope that we talked about a few weeks ago here. And Lord, that you would bless them. And I'm sure that they're face to face with you right now, and they're probably not too worried about what we're doing. So, and it's all for your glory, Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saintly ones, his holy ones. And it's always a blessing knowing that they've gone to heaven, though we mourn. And it's a shame, a pity that men like that are out on the streets, but just shows how lost humanity is without you, Lord. And we're so thankful that you've reached down and pulled us up out of the mire to set us up to be seated with you in heavenly places. And we just can't thank you enough for that. And we love you so much for it. And we love your word. I know all these people here, they love your word, and they can't wait to hear what you have to say to them tonight. And Lord Jesus, thank you once again, who loved us and gave himself for us. We never forget what you did on the cross for us. And we thank you for that with all our hearts. And just bless your word, Lord, tonight as it goes forth in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to start with turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm going to read through the, I believe, 18th verse just to make sure in case we run out of time and I don't get to all of it. But I want to try something a little different tonight. We're going to look at some exegesis to see how we come to some of the things that we believe and some of the things that we say from the pulpit. And it's not too difficult. If I can understand it, and if the Lord could teach me, anybody could figure it out. So, okay, 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things coming into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. They couldn't understand it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. That word witness, that's pretty much like our word mousterion that we had a few weeks ago. Well, this is marturion, where we get our word martyr, for a testimony or a witness. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. The world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that such we are. 1 John 3:1. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We behold his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hey, that's the name of the church. John bore witness of him, cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, because he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. He calls him right there, the only begotten God, not Son of God, the only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father. And he has exegetomized him. It's where we get our word exegesis. And we just go through the old, the Koine Greek, and break it down into, look at the different words and the different meanings of the different words. And most importantly, all the conjunctions and the all the other words. The prepositions are real important. So we're going to try a little bit tonight. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. When I first believed, I didn't realize, you don't know a lot, you just heard enough to believe, and he reckoned that as righteousness to you. But I remember it was a lot longer, maybe a year, that I was reading first, or this chapter here, this verse one day, and it just hit me all of a sudden, Jesus is God, because whoever I heard the gospel from or whatever, the books that I was reading, and we'll watch Billy Graham. I think that's when I got saved. I couldn't get up to change the channel because I was too hammered. So I had to sit there and watch it. And that's when I got saved, I'm pretty sure. So it's a good thing I couldn't get up to change. That was before the day of the clicker. So we didn't have a clicker. But exegesis, it's tricky too, because the main part is that you got to go with the context that you're in. If you just write out the Greek and put your own meaning to it, that's eisegesis, and that's not right. You got to remember the context when you're doing it. So let's try verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, with God, and the Word was God. Okay, that starts with the preposition N. If you're taking notes, draw a circle, and right in the center of the circle is N. If you're just making a circle in your mind, N is right in the center of the circle. Okay, that's our first preposition we're going to be dealing with. Genesis 1:1, same beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and we all know Jesus is the creator of all things. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. By the rhema, by the word of his power in Hebrews 1:3. The rhema is not just a word, it's the spoken word. He's speaking, he's talking to the world, keeping it going. That's how the planets and everything keeps going. And 1 John 1:1 is another beginning. What was from the beginning, same beginning, I believe. What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at, what we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Here we have some eyewitnesses. John, Peter, the closest, Peter, John, and James. They were more the inner circle. And they seen everything he did. They did stuff that we can't do. They touched him, they listened to him, and they heard him, and they seen him doing all his miracles and preaching to all the people and preaching to the Pharisees and yelling at him and all the stuff he did. They were eyewitnesses, and that had to be a great thing. And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father. Full of grace and truth. We already read that, but doesn't hurt to read it again. Revelation 19:13, he is clothed in a white robe, and his name is called the Word of God. He is the Word of God. John 17:5, now Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had before the world was. He's going back to where he started out, seated next to the Father in heaven in glory. 1 John 1:2, the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father. So there's two separate people there. The Word was with the Father and was manifested to us. Philippians 2:6, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, to be taken by robbery, is what the Word means. Okay, so let's start out here. We got our N, that's in the middle of your circle. RK, that word is the beginning. First in authority, first in time. That's what it means mostly, is first. And the principalities and powers are RKs, but that's designated power that he gave to them. Delegated, and they're only allowed to do so much, and they can't do anything that he doesn't allow them to do. Now we have I-me, which is I am. That's the first person. Second person would be you are, and the third person would be he, she, it is. Well, this is the imperfect, and that's meaning that it's a continuous action in the past. So in the beginning, he was being, would be the way you would translate that. Hold on.
Thank you. Already.
And since we have the beginning, it would be even safe to say that he always was being. Ho logos. That's in the nominative. He's the subject of the sentence. So the first part would be, in the beginning was being the Logos. That's how it would be translated if you wrote it in the order that the Greek is in. Then we have Kai, Ho Logos. Then we have at Hain again, which was always being. Pros, which means with, and in proximity. With Tone Theon, the God. That's that's a different person. Oh, completely. No. And Ho Logos was being with God. Then we have Kai again, Theos this time, which is a nominative again. So that coincides with Ho Logos. And it's the subset, and it's the class of what the Word would belong to. And it's a... it's a predicate. Means the class of, so, and it wouldn't make sense if you said God was the Word, then the only thing God would be was, or the Word would be God, or the Word. Here, I wrote it out here. In the beginning, the Word always was being, and the Word was always being with proximity to God. Another person altogether. Sorry about that. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. Just sort of repeating what he said in the first verse. And we have the accusative again, Tone Theon, which is a different person altogether than the Logos. Verse 3. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. John 1:10, he was in the world was made. He made the world, and the world did not know him. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him. one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers, there's RK again, and authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Hebrews 1:2. In these last days he has spoken to us, and in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. Now that's not cosmos world, that's the aeon, the aeonos, which is the ages. He figured out what was going to happen in every age before time began. And, so far it's worked out according to plan, and I'm sure it will. As we study Revelation, we see what's going to happen in the end. Okay, the first word there is panta. That's an indefinite adjective. Depends. It means all, each and every. Now, all in this room here, probably 20 people. That would be all of us. But in the whole world, it would be how many ever people are in the world. But it always means each and every. So for this would mean everything. Everything altogether, everywhere. And next is dia. That would be a circle going right through the middle of your circle, or a line going right through the middle of your circle. For dia, it could mean through, by means of, and sometimes because. Out to. Agonato. Came into being. It came into being through him. And nothing. Chores, apart from him. Is a preparation, preposition. Agonato, meaning to come into being. Ude, not, but not. And then, and again. And then ho, gegomen, the one who created, who made it happen, who made it come into being. So we would say everything through him came into being, and apart from him, not one thing came into being that has been made. So there's nothing he didn't hand something off to another god somewhere. There's only one God. Three persons, one God, and he was with the Father. Doesn't mention the Spirit here, but the Spirit will be coming in later, in later chapters. We'll learn about the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:14, I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it. There is nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should fear him. Job in 12:10 says, in whose hand is life of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind. So human life, since God doesn't do anything that won't remain forever, the soul is eternal. The body is biodegradable, and it's comes through the union of two human beings, procreation. But Jesus Christ makes the soul. He breathes life into everyone. He did it to Adam, and he's been doing it ever since. And he ignites, as we'll see later, he ignites life into men. And then Daniel said in 5:23, but the God in whose hand your life breath and yours you have not glorified. So he holds your very breath in his hand. So Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And give glory to God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 5:26. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, he will live. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 8:12. On my lighter, Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. So he's life and he's light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. 9:5 of John. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. 12:46 of John. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not walk in darkness. You could probably do a year on light and dark, light and darkness. It's pretty intense study once you get down to it. Because people love the darkness, as he says in when he's talking to Nicodemus, because their deeds are evil, and the light exposes all wrongdoing, all evil. And that's part of what's going on now, that the darkness is fading away and the light's increasing, and it's showing people for what they really are. Murderers and haters. There's no darkness in light. God is light, and there's no darkness in him. And there's just no amount of darkness that can deal. That's what it says. The darkness couldn't comprehend it. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. All right, here we have en alto, in him. Zoe. That's a nominative, which means it's the subject of the sentence. Zoe, life, animation, not just spiritual life, but also soul life, physical life. There's Hain again, was always being. And the life, Hain was always being the light. So he always was being that. When I discovered that form of I me is I am Jesus. That's what Jesus said, ego I me, I am. And that's when they always wanted to throw stones at him. And so, but he was being in the past. No time, like I said, since it said beginning, we'll go with always. Ton anthropon, all men, mankind as a species, more or less, not just males. And in him was being life, and that same life was being the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John 3:19. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. 5:8 of Ephesians. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For the reason it says, awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but wise. Isaiah said in 9:2, repeated in Matthew 4:16 and Luke 1:79, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the lights will shine on them. So Isaiah was in on that too. He knew what was going on. Well, he didn't know what was going on. He just proclaimed it. He wasn't really, he didn't know what he was proclaiming, but it was for our sakes, so that's the good part. Okay, we have Kai, which is and Tophos, the light in the darkness, and Te Skotia. Now, darkness isn't only just lack of sunlight or whatever, but it's also spiritual darkness, depravity. That's all has to do with darkness. So it's not just a something that when your eyes can't see nothing, it's dark. But it's when your mind can't see anything and your heart can't feel anything anymore because you're got a callus even on your feelings and you can't even tell right from wrong anymore. And that's what happens to people. They go too far and that's it. So here we have fine, which is a present indicative. It shines, it's illuminated, becomes visible. Fineo, to light. And haskotia, and the darkness. Ooh, good not. Kata Laban. Now, kata means down, and Laban means to take and receive. It's like a wrestling term. The darkness couldn't take the light down. Couldn't take him down and out. The thing about darkness is, they hate you when you disagree with them, but that's not even enough. They want to go further and hurt somebody because they don't agree with you. Like the person who wouldn't bake the cake for the gay wedding or whatever. They weren't happy just saying, oh, he doesn't agree with this. No, they had to take him to court, take all his money and close his bakery, and it was a terrible thing. But the darkness wants to destroy. And they thought they were getting rid of Jesus too, but that didn't work. Through death, he destroyed the one who had power over death. He destroyed the power over death with death itself. That's amazing. And the light illuminated and made visible the darkness. That same darkness could not comprehend the light so as to take it down or out. Verse 6. There came a man sent from John, who came from God, whose name was John. We won't spend a lot of time on John because we're trying to glorify Christ here tonight. But enough to say that he was 6 months older than Jesus. He was Jesus' second cousin because Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. And he knew who he was. He knew he wasn't the light, or he knew he wasn't the Messiah. They would even come and ask him, are you he? No. But Isaiah had something to say about that also in verse 40, or chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her, that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, and that she has received the Lord's hand double for all her sin. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Malachi 3:1, behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And the very last verse of the Old Testament would be darkness for 400 years after this. Behold, this is Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet. Jesus said, yeah, you could say that he's Elijah if you want to say that. He's Elijah who is coming. He said that to some in one of the chapters there in John, I believe. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. So that's how the Old Testament ended until in the beginning. The word came flesh. But he came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. Christ, that is, the light. Verse 8, he was not the light, but came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. 1 John 2:8, on the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining, as I said before. So there's your hain again. Was from the beginning, tophos, the light. Now there's an adjective here, the aletheon, which is the true, the original, the real, the true light. The one, ho, relative pronoun, is photizai, which illuminates, lights, shines upon. Photizai. Panta. Now that's, he just doesn't enlighten those who are born again. He lightens panta anthropon. He lightens all men that come into the world. So that's how I figure that he's the originator and giver of human life also. Erk omenon. Coming, entering into the world. All men coming into the world. Into the cosmon. Now, cosmos is not just the planet. It's the inhabited planet with all the people and that. It's not the earth really either, because that's Tain Gain is the earth. But the world is, and then if it's in a negative sense, the cosmos is Satan's diabolical plan for the ages. He has a plan for the ages too, and he's running out of time with his. And he said that the darkness is getting lit up. So there won't, that's probably the end, when all the, when there's so much light that the darkness can't hide anymore. That's when all heck would break loose probably. But there always was being the light. The light which lightens and ignites each and every man coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him. The world did not know him. That's pretty funny. I don't get it. Ento cosmo, in the world. He was always being the world of him. Eganato. There we have coming to being again. That's just the aorist of Ginnamai. So to be, which is to be, to come into being, to happen. And ook. There we have another ook. And that's not egno. They did not know. He was always being in the world, and the world came into being through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. He came to Israel as the, he created Israel for his own glory and purpose through a barren woman, 90 years old, and a 99-year-old man who were blessed to have a child in that old age, and his name was Isaac. And then Isaac, of course, gave birth to Jacob, who stole the birthright from Esau. And that all started the whole ball of wax rolling. The 12 children he had. It was the 12 tribes of Israel, and that's how Israel got started. It all started with that spark that Jesus lit in an old man and an old lady so they could have a child. No wonder they're hated so much all over the world. They're such a miracle, a whole race of miracle. You got to love it. All right, this one starts, Ista. Now, ice is to or unto. To idea, which is his own. He came to his own. Elthane, the aorist of Erkomai. And those idea, those ones who were his, ou per le bon, did not receive him. He thought he was a liar, or they thought he was just trying to hook and crook him. And most people didn't. After a while, eventually, a lot of them did. And John 8:30 says, those who believed him were still listening to him. And that's when he said that the if you keep my word, you're my disciples indeed, and then you'll know the truth. You just won't know the truth. A lot of people like to spit that verse out like all things are going to work out for the good, but taking it out of context. You can't take it out of context. You got to remember the context when you're trying to read, when you read verses, and when you got to think of the correlating verses and what, who he's talking to and what's being said and who's listening. And you just got to take all that into consideration. He came unto his own, his creation, and his creation of Israel, his cosmos, which he formed, and those ones who were his own did not receive him. But there's good news. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right or power, it says in the King James, to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. John 11:52, when Caiaphas was speaking. And not for the nation only, but in order that he might gather together into one all the techna of God scattered abroad all over the world. And that's what he's done. And he's going to gather together all of Israel one day at the tribulation. He's going to gather them from the four corners of the world. And that'll be a good thing to see too. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There it says sons, but could be either sons or daughters. If there's any libbers, women's libbers. John 1:7. John came to testify about the light so that he might believe through the light. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. It's believing, it's faith alone in Christ alone. It's not just a mere acknowledgement, but it's relying, depending. That's what faith is about. You're looking at somebody else to, for their merits, for their good, for your to have for your own. 1 John 3:23. This is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, love one another just as he commanded. 1 John 5:13. These things believe in the name of Jesus, that you might, he wrote these things, that you might believe in the name of Jesus, that you might know you have eternal life. Faith, eternal life is through faith in Christ. All right, here we have Hosoi, which is a relative program, as many as those. Duh was but Elabon, who received him. Then we have our next word is Auton, which is him, those who received him. Edokin, that is the aorist, past tense. That's all aorist is most of the time. It's the past tense of didomi, which is a verb of grace. It's to give, to grant, or bestow. So to those who believed on him, to them he gave, autois, to those ones, he gave exousion. That's the power, the authority, the designation, the power to become sons of God. That's our names now. That's what we are, the sons of God and daughters of God and the children of God. Techna, which is children of God, theo. Genestae, which is the aorist, came to exist. Tois pistiosin is a participle. Now, tois is the article, and pisteosin is those who were believing. That's a present, so it's a continuous. So he gave life to those who are believing, not just who acknowledged and went away and did their own thing, but who are believing. We're believing right now. The second day after we got saved, we got up, and maybe not right away, but we were believing that day at one point in time, or else we wouldn't have continued to, and we wouldn't be where we are now, sitting here listening to his word. But some don't hear that voice, and some doesn't. They don't want their life interrupted. They want to go for the American dream and get rich and grow up, have a nice family, and which is all good stuff. You want to be respected in a neighborhood and all that, but that's not the most important thing. Eternal life is the most important thing. Like I said before, the soul is eternal. The body is going to be dead someday. People think when that happens that'll be it, but the soul will go to one place or another, heaven or into the pits, the lower regions, which would be hell, until they're thrown into the lake of fire, because once you die, you can't believe. So, it's really not good to... Sorry. To pray for people who already died, because it's too late anyway. 1:13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. John 3:5, when he was talking to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That born of the flesh is flesh, and that born of the spirit is spirit. It's not a human thing. It's not a flesh and blood thing. James 1:18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be kind of the first fruits among his creatures. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And if you know he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. All right, there we have oi, which is a relative pro those, who, which, ook, not. There we have another, ek. Now on your circle, from the outside rim of the circle, draw an arrow out, and that is ek. From the center of your circle, that's ek. From the outside of your circle, it's apo. But ek is from the source of. So it's not from the source of I'm atone, blood, which is plural, bloods. Ude, which is a coordinating conjunction, just means nor. Nor out from thelematos, the will, desire or purpose, not out from the will, sarkos, which is a genitive of flesh, which is just another name for humanity, your body. Ude, nor, ek thelematos, andros. Now, that's a word for man. That's not the same as anthropos, but andros is like a husband, like it's a male, like anthropos could be man and woman. It's just mankind in general most of the time. But andros is just a man. It's not man's will. But ek, out from God is the source. We are born again. Ega nathesen. Some of them words shouldn't even try to pronounce them, I guess. So as many as those who were not out from bloods, nor out from the will and purpose of flesh, nor out from the will and purpose of a man, but on the contrary, well, there was an ally in there, that's but it's on the contrary, born out of the will, purpose of God. So the born again experience is not, it's not a natural thing. It's from heaven. It's sourced in heaven. It's sourced in God, and it's sourced in Christ Jesus also. He is life. And that life was the light of men, as we saw already. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hey, there's the name of our church again. Speaking of coming from His flesh, Mary and Joseph were His. Well, Mary was His mother, but Joseph was His adopted father. They both came through the line of David. I just thought this was interesting when I seen it. Joseph was from Nathan's line. Mary was from Solomon's line. So two different sons, but all ended up being in the line to Messiah. Joseph was a lucky man. He lucked out. He was blessed. He was picked out, just like Mary was picked out to give birth to Jesus. Joseph was picked out every man on the planet to do what he did. So God's grace is amazing. You just don't ever know how it works or how it's going to, but it's awesome. And we're all the recipients of it, and we're all, like I said, what we are. We are what we are by the grace of God. Romans 1:3, concerning His Son, who was born a descendant of David according to the flesh. That's Sarx. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. 1 Timothy 3:16, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He was revealed in the flesh. He came as a man, dwelt among us. Vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Hebrews 2:14, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself also partook of the same, that through death He might render powerless him who had power over death, even the devil. That's great. That's awesome. 1 John 4:2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. So to believe in Jesus, then He didn't come in the flesh, or some believe that He was like a phantom or something. When He walked on the beach, He didn't leave any footprints, but He was God and man in one person. Can't really explain it. That's why you can't explain a lot of this stuff. You just got to believe it, and that's why it's called faith, because you're just believing something that by sight and by common sense you wouldn't think it could be, but He'll make it happen. By this you know the Spirit of God, 1 John 4:2. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is from God. 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Luke 9:32, the transfiguration, they saw Jesus in all his glory, and He was with Moses and Elijah, and then they all fell on their faces, because they couldn't stand it. When they got back up, it was just Jesus alone. Moses and Elijah got their marching orders, and they were gone. Just Christ. Christ doesn't share His glory with anybody. Not even great men like that. Moses and Elijah. You could go on for hours talking about them, too. I was thinking of Elijah today when he was against the 450 priests, and he was pouring, because this day seemed to have one thing after another go wrong, or something happened, and I was thinking how he kept pouring the water on the sacrifices, and said, God will lick my, it'll come down, and the fire will come down, and take my sacrifice, and he kept dumping barrels of water on it until they even around the rim of the altar was filled up with water, and of course we know what happened. fire came down and took his sacrifice, and nothing happened to the 450, and he killed them all. They slew all 450 of them. It was great. Great victory. Then he ran and hid. He ran and hid from Jezebel. John 17:22. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. 1 John 1:1. What was from the beginning, or we have heard, or have seen with our eyes, looked at, touched, concerning the word of life. Romans 5:21. So that sin reigned in death, even so grace, there's our grace, would reign with through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we have the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you keep his word, you'll be his disciples. Then you'll know the truth. That's the only... He just doesn't make the truth known to everybody. You have to be a disciple. You have to take up your cross. Follow him. Hate your life. Which isn't pretty hard. That's not a real hard one to do anymore these days. The way things are going. But you should love your own life, I guess. But it's just the other things going on around you that kind of make you say, "Come quickly, Lord," because I guess his patience is salvation. But I would have ran out a long time ago, I think. But he came to his own, and his own, they didn't receive him. He grew up, Isaiah 53. He grew up before him a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Like one from men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. It's a sad story there, but they will. They'll regard him someday. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and every eye will see him coming with the clouds, even those who have pierced him. So he's going to have his day. Of course, this is still the day of man, the day of Satan, still on the loose. Only as far as the Lord will let him, but he's still on the loose. So there we have Kai, even and even, Hologos, Sarx, flesh. He became. He came into being as flesh, God in the flesh. Being a form of God, he'd not thought it robbery, but he emptied himself of his deity, came obedient to death, even the death of a cross. And therefore, he learned obedience from the things he suffered in Hebrews 5:8. And he's qualified to be our Savior. He was qualified to be the sacrifice. Remember that no sacrifice was official till it was slain. So he had to be killed. But like we said here a little bit ago, he had the final laugh when death conquered the fear of death. Okay, he came, and eskenosin, he tented among us. Skeno is tent. He tented. 2 Corinthians 5:1, Paul refers to the body as a tent. He came, took up housekeeping on the earth with us. Lived like a man for 33 years, and grew up under the tutelage of mother and father, and just like we all did, but yet without sin. And we beheld, the word is theasma, and that's where we get our Lord theater. It was like a theater production, his life. You could sit back and watch all the things he said, and all the people he healed, and all the lives he touched.
we beheld his glory, Tain Doxan. Doxan, glory, as of the monogenos, the one of a kind, the uniquely born, the only begotten Son of God. And there's only been one, and there's only going to ever be one. He's glorified humanity right now, sitting at the right hand of the throne, where he said in John 17 in the high priestly prayer, return me to the glory which I had before. And Hologos became flesh, took up residence among us in an earthly tent, and we saw his glory as we were watching him and touching him and handling him, like John said. Glory like the one of a kind, uniquely born of the Father, full to the max of grace and truth. Yeah, that pleroma, that's an old term they used. I was reading one of my books that the when they loaded to go on a long journey in their ships, if they would have, like maybe Columbus coming to clear across the ocean, like they would have to store stuff everywhere inside the ship, every, like a Thomas's English muffin there, I guess, every nook and cranny. And under the beds, they would keep buckets or tubs of water, probably. And that's playroom. And you fill everything to the, like a smell of a, you light a candle or something at Christmas time, and it, wherever you go in a house, if you stood up and against the corner, probably like that, you would probably still smell, because that smell permeates. Well, that's the idea of pleroma, his fullness. It's full till it can't get full anymore. Verse 1:15. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This is he whom have I said who comes after me is a higher rank than I, for he existed before me." Verse 16, "For of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Well, we could all have a testimony probably about all the gracious things he's done for us, and people he's brought across us in our journey through life, and even some of the bad stuff that happened. It truly does. If you love God, all things work out for the good, and he'll never let us suffer beyond what we could handle, but he'll always offer a way of escape, and that's his faithfulness. God couldn't be the word, or the word, God could not be the word, because that would mean that was the only thing God was the word. He's so much more. He's righteousness, justice, grace, mercy, truth. You could go on forever. He's everything. He's the fullness of all that fills all, in Ephesians 1:23. And we just couldn't be any more happy or blessed to be serving him. And no, we don't go out and serve him on the streets or probably at the food kitchen or what. But this is our reasonable logikos right here, what we're doing. Rubbing shoulders, listening to the word of God between the coffin. But one of these days, maybe. So, like I said, it's always a pleasure. And I appreciate the opportunity, Scott, and it's like I said, there's no greater privilege on earth than talking about Jesus. It's the best. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these believers who love your word, Lord. Bless them. Don't let them down. Give them everything that they came to hear tonight. And I know that you are faithful to bless one and all. And it's just, like I said, it's without words sometimes, you can't find words to explain how grateful and how much we love you. And we want to see you, you know. It's not that we want to die and get out of here, but we can't wait to see you. We're anticipating. We're really excited about that day when we get to see you face to face. And that's what it's all about. That's why we want to know you. We don't want to be ashamed when we're standing before you. We want to know you.
We don't want to look at you and say, oh, you're Jesus? But Jesus, like we're really glad to see him. That's what I want. And that's what we all want here, Lord. And we can't wait. So don't take a lot longer, because we want to see you face to face. We've heard about you, but we want to see you. And I'm sure everything that we ever heard will just light up, like, and we'll have full knowledge. And you'll be faithful then, like you're faithful now, and we just love you for that. And Lord, would all not be possible if you didn't come in the flesh, and you came to your own, and they rejected you, and you came and put on that suit of humanity and lived amongst us and sweated and toiled working and just living like the rest of us, so you could associate with us, so you would know us personally. You created us and you knew us, but now you knew us as a man, and that's quite a different thing. And you, even though many hated you and did not receive you, you still went to that cross. And for that's beyond understanding, too, why you would do that. But that's who you are. God is love, and he had to do it. And he chose to do it himself. No man took his life, but he laid it down freely of his own accord. And we thank you for that. And, we just thank you, Lord, and bless the offering. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Ladies study Tuesday, 10 a.m. I just saw the thing here. Crafton Heights.